Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPA, SLA, SLAACRRR, MMDRAHA, or any of them that are A's.
Yeah, you about covered it.
You know what I realized for weeks and weeks and weeks?
What did you realize for weeks and weeks?
As I'm going through the litany of groups, I always say PA in the first section, and then for a long time I was throwing in PA after HA again. I realized that.
Yeah.
Because I was doing it for
Sarah. There's two different PA programs.
So she was getting two. She was getting it twice.
There's two different PA programs. There's Pills Anonymous and there's Periods Anonymous for women who can't control their periods.
Ooh. Send your mail to Mark, care of Recovery.
Actually, somebody else in the program said that to me today. I thought it was cute.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
What do you think of that, Shelly? Periods Anonymous?
I am always in control of my punctuation.
Ooh.
See, that's what I meant. I don't know what you were talking
about.
She's
a major grammarian.
Yeah. Bruce, you were the one who went there. I was talking about punctuation.
What I love about Shelly was speaking at a meeting one time, and she's up there in the front, and suddenly she's like, ooh, she's like having a hot flash. She goes, oh, I'm having my own private summer.
No, I said I was having a power surge.
Oh, a power surge. But you also say you have your own private summer.
Yes, I was having my own private summer. Yes, I was having a hot flash. But at that same thing, the whole time that I was speaking, and I managed to work it in there somehow, but I don't exactly remember how. I just remember my sponsor coming up later and telling me that it was hilarious, that I worked in my OCD into my pitch. And I said, like, right now, what's really bothering me is that the window over here behind me, the shutters are open, and those are closed.
Yes.
And everybody thought that was hilarious. I don't actually remember saying it.
Oh, I remember.
She told me later.
I told people, one of my, probably my top five pitches I've heard, it's like everything Shelley's, it just like, everything came out good and all rolled and everything.
I will
good.
Never be able to repeat that. It was a one-off.
You don't have to. You just don't a half. Oh, my gosh. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
All right, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. You're on my cord.
Hey.
Hey.
You. Get off of my cord.
Yeah, I mean, you're still on my cord. This is like Laurel and... Oh, okay, you're on...
Jesus.
Oh, get off my, geez,
I'm
Louise.
Dancing.
With yourself.
So take another. I can't remember what it is.
This one was sent in by Bruce.
Yes, this is awesome. Loving this.
You know, the anonymous hackers, the hacktivists, as they call themselves.
The hacktivists. Anonymous.
They hacked into Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's account and released a bunch of his emails on Monday.
Because they just don't go after the U.S. government. They go after whoever they want to F with.
Yes, but what Syrian president, what he's getting, I haven't heard anything about what was in the emails. What I've heard is the fact that he's now the laughingstock of the world because his password didn't take much hacking. It was 12345.
And who else famous used 12345?
King Roland and President Scroob in the movie Spaceballs. And that was their example of having a terrible password, but that was like 15 years ago.
Guy used like the most number one easy to hack password ever. 12345. The guys from Anonymous are like, really?
That's not the easiest password.
It's listed as like in the top, what is it, top five or top 10?
Top five, I think it says.
The easiest password is password.
The easiest password is username and password is admin. when I work for Earthlink, we're looking to do business with these guys in India. And, you know, we're going to be giving a secure network with, like, credit card information, everything. And so we have our security people look at their security system. And the girl goes, okay, let's see if I can crack into their system. And she goes, I know this won't work, but let me just try it. She types in admin, admin. It lets her in. She goes, oh, my God. She goes, we can't do business with these guys. She goes, they didn't even change anything. That's what comes by default with the system.
Most common password for home security systems is 000. Because that's the default password.
40.
Yeah, people never change it.
Usually 40.
Nice.
43. Mine was only 3 numbers, and I had one. But I changed mine.
I changed mine, too. I just reversed it.
Radar.
Okay, the next story.
Wow, Dad.
The next story is very long and complicated.
Oh,
so,
perfect for us.
Yes, I know, really. Tell me about it.
Wake me up when it's over. Wake me up before you go.
It was a really interesting article that was written by a guy who, and talk about a specialized interest. He spent the last 10 years studying and writing about the Haymarket riots of 1886.
We had a market of hay?
No, it wasn't really. It was a bombing in Chicago. It sparked the first Red Scare.
I heard my mama cry.
At any rate, so he goes on to Wikipedia, and he's reading some of the articles about the Haymarket riots and stuff, and he notices some inaccuracies. Now, this guy has spent 10 years. He's written 2 books, multiple stories. I don't know who the heck reads this stuff, but, you know, he's spent a lot of time.
Has anyone ever even heard of this before, the Haymarket riots?
We learned about it in school.
I was out that day.
Okay, well, at any rate, that's not the focus of the story. The focus of the story is he finds some inaccuracies in this Wikipedia article, and Wikipedia is supposed to be peer-reviewed and corrected, right?
Right.
So he corrects them. 5 minutes later, they uncorrect his corrections and send him an email that tells him that that he has not adhered to the weight article. They have a rule.
Oh, there's a rule.
There
the
is
hackers
a rule.
Have a rule.
Yes.
And is it Rule 62?
No, it's not Rule 62. It's like the undue weight policy. That's what it was. In other words, if 20 people review this article and say that that fact is accurate...
They have to be skinny?
Even if it's wrong, Wikipedia says they're right. Because they have the weight of their truth.
Because majority rules?
Yes. Majority rules on history. So we can totally rewrite history if we can get enough people to back us up.
So if enough people want to hang a prayer banner up in a school...
That has
rules.
To do with law, not with history on Wikipedia.
What if 20 people
checking.
Agree, though? I'm just saying.
At any rate, no, totally non-analogous.
If we had enough people to follow it, it'd be good.
Totally not analogous. Because basically what Wikipedia is doing, Wikipedia sent him an email after the third time he tried to correct it and said that they were less concerned with truth than they were with popularity.
Ooh.
And this
Did
is why...
Did he publish that email?
He's published all of this stuff. There's a big article about all of his dealings with Wikipedia.
Oh,
and this
God.
Is why I keep telling my son, you can't use Wikipedia as a reference. And he says, well, why not, Mom? I'm like, this is why.
Because they're idiots?
Yes.
You know what? Actually, though, for most stuff on Wikipedia, it's pretty good. However, knowing that something
how
like this is not, then it makes you think about it twice.
That's how Bruce gets his shares every day.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas.
Nevada.
Yeah, just thinking that.
Guess what happened at the Heart Attack Grill?
Someone had a heart attack. Was it the owner?
No.
It was the owner last time, remember?
Yeah,
we had that story a long time.
Attack.
Yeah, the owner of that place did have a heart attack. No, it was one of the...
Is it Man versus Food guy?
No, it was just...
No. It's going to be one of these days.
Do you know what that restaurant, if you come in and you weigh... There's a big scale, and if you weigh over 350 pounds, you eat for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just
one
had some
burgers
I could send in there.
I'm a year
guy
away.
Was 460.
One of their burgers is called the Triple Bypass Burger, and that's the one he was eating when he had his collapse.
Pound and a half of meat with 12 strips of bacon.
It exceeds...
Bacon. Nature's heroin.
It exceeds 8,000 calories.
Wow.
The burger does. Okay, this is...
Well, you've seen the guy, right? The man versus food guy?
Yeah.
Just watched him get... defeated tonight by a 7-pound burrito. I'm like, are you kidding me? 7-pound burrito?
You know what was really sad about that story, though, at the Heart Attack Grill, is people who were making fun of the guy for what he was eating when he had the heart attack, and the owner finally turned around and said, you guys have to stop. This guy had a heart attack.
There were tourists taking pictures of him.
Yeah.
Well,
thought that he was, like, part of a show or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? And here's the thing. I understand that. I get that. I mean, you can't be making fun of the guy who just had a heart attack. The guy that owns the place, it's called the Heart Attack Grill. It's like because you serve stuff that was likely to give someone a heart attack, and then it's like you're going to, like, complain because people are laughing about it. It's like, dude, you serve it.
Well,
on purpose.
There's a sign on the door that says, our food is hazardous to your health. There's a disclaimer.
Michelle Obama hasn't gotten there yet, has she?
No. Let's see. Ooh, in
Newport
Beach.
Am I missing something?
The food police?
Yeah, the food police.
Okay.
In Newport Beach, California.
Stalag, USA.
An AA group and an NA group who have attempted to get a permit, a smoking permit, were denied.
I had a rumble.
That's what I was thinking it was going to be.
Those two groups meet at a park on the beach and have for many, many years. What is going on over there?
Nothing.
Yeah.
At any rate, they have.
Please continue.
We're listening.
They've been meeting on the beach there for many, many years. Newport Beach has passed an ordinance that there is no outdoor smoking anywhere in the city,
yes,
including the beaches.
Yes, they have.
Those two groups, there are a lot of members that smoke. They tried to get a smoking permit, and they were denied. And in fact, some of the neighbors in that area came to the city council meeting to request that the park be closed at 7 p.m., which would mean that they would have no place to have their meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say in the article whether or not the city council voted on
it. Now it's a 5:30 meeting.
Damn normies.
Yes.
So they...
Wow, yeah, there's a tradition blower.
Yeah.
Wow. Pull their charter.
I was really expecting, you know, it was going to be like they were fighting over, you know,
turf.
Who would get the beach.
Yeah. It's a turf war.
No, I mean, I think they're on different nights. It said there were two separate groups, so...
Yeah.
In Newcastle, Pennsylvania, firefighters
said... That's a
good beer. Assistant Fire Chief David Joseph is quoted as saying, this is definitely the best smelling fire we've seen in a long time.
Weed?
No.
Well, you never know.
What burned?
Wow. And I'm hungry.
Polish sausage smokehouse caught on fire.
Oh, my God. Dude.
They did manage to save more than 200 pounds of the Polish sausage.
They, you know what? I go on record right now as saying they actually saved 400 pounds of it. And all the fire departments in the area would be macking on Polish sausage for a couple of weeks.
Polish sausage crisped?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Heart attack. Yeah, heart attack on a bun.
There was a waiting list to see who could fight that fire. It smelled so good.
Wow.
Don't put that part out.
Yeah. Can you let that go just a little bit longer, yeah. Frank?
It's not quite crispy enough on the outside. Yeah.
The ribs will be done in 7 minutes.
Hector Felix Jr. Oh, by the way, this takes place in Port St. Lucie,
Florida.
Thank you. Hector Felix Jr. decided he needed a ride to Hollywood, Florida.
Why did he call Senior?
I don't know. Doesn't say that he did.
Hollywood, Florida.
Yes.
There's actually a lot of Hollywoods.
Continue.
In many states.
He decided that because he didn't have a way to get there and he didn't have a ride and he wasn't sure how he was going to get there, he decided to report a carjacking. Assuming that once the police came to take his report about the carjacking, he would say, I was on the way to Hollywood, Florida. Can you give me a ride? And they would take him there because he'd just been carjacked.
Okay. I'm liking the plan so far. What happened?
Well, it sounds like a good plan, except for the fact that when the police got there, he blew it and said, I wasn't really carjacked. I just need a ride to Hollywood, Florida.
Okay, that's where the plan went sideways.
Yes. So then instead of going to Hollywood, Florida, he went to jail on a misdemeanor false report of commission of crimes charge.
But he got three hots and a cot, right?
And he got a ride.
He ride.
It just, partway there.
Yeah, it just wasn't where he originally wanted to go.
You know,
he goes, can you extradite me to Hollywood, Florida, please?
It was a good plan on paper.
Yeah. It started
the
out
the implementation
was
a good plan, bad those, implementation.
One of those kind of plans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Was he an alcoholic? I'll bet he was.
Good engineering, bad construction.
Yeah. It doesn't say anything about drugs or alcohol in it, so I would
then
guess
why
not.
Why did we report it?
Because this is the boozy news and news not fit for booze.
Okay.
That's not fit. Well, that's fit for booze.
That was fit for booze.
And there just wasn't any booze.
If he'd had a couple drinks, he'd have pulled it off.
Possibly.
He would have got arrested for drunk driving.
That's right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You're buzzed and you call me. I got carjacked. Really? Yeah. So you were driving in this condition? Yeah. I mean, no, I wasn't.
Yeah.
So now you hold on a second. Driving
Which one do I get in less trouble for?
Yeah. False report.
Oh. Okay. I was drunken driven.
Drunken driven. How many have you had?
Drunken driven. Okay. Also in
Florida.
Thank you. Yes, Florida's just full of it tonight. In Fox Hollow.
Fox Hollow, Florida.
Yes. Well, it's near Boynton Beach, it says.
Release the hounds.
The city council is considering paying a trapper $6,000 to round up and kill the entire population of peacocks.
Release the hounds. You can't kill peacocks.
The residents say, I'm quoting one of the residents here, I want every one of them out of here. They bang on my French doors, throw themselves in my windows, wake me up every morning, they jump on my roof at 6 o'clock, and during mating season they scream.
Yeah, they do. I've heard them at the Arboretum before. Like, they scream like...
Don't we all?
Oh, my God.
Fox Hollow is a small... Fox Hollow is a small community in which there are an estimated 400 peacocks.
They're protected.
No, they're not.
Apparently
peacocks
not.
Are.
Peacocks are not protected.
You mean I've been, like, slowing down when the peacocks are walking up my street for all these years?
Yeah. They're not protected.
I ran over a peacock once.
Did you?
Oh, my God, on Covina Hills Road. Uh-huh. You know what?
Did it
I
scream?
I will never forget this. It looked right at me right before I hit it, man. I went up over this rise, and it was walking, and suddenly it was there, and it looked right at me right before I went bum, 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 over him. And I pull over the side of the road. I'm like, oh, my God. And this guy comes out of his house, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's his peacock. And he comes out and he goes, dude, it happens all the time. He goes, my neighbor's got a crap load of them in his backyard. I'm like, oh, my God. It was like running over a kid.
What do you call a female peacock?
What is it, Shelley? Female peacock.
A peahen.
Peahen.
Okay. I was thinking of something a lot dirtier, but.
A pahina.
Whatever. At any rate, some of the neighbors are appalled that people want to kill the birds. They're loud and they make a mess, but they're beautiful. Says Cheryl Bickley, who obviously is not smart.
Think of all the cool, like, you know, artworks you could do with all those feathers.
You know, I used to go out in the morning, and somewhere between 8 and 12 peacocks were always in my front yard every single morning.
Really?
Then I got sober. No, just...
Oh.
No, really, because...
he goes, but we were well fed.
Well, because I lived near a place where they had a lot of peacocks. They always came over to our yard.
Can you eat peacocks?
Yeah, they taste a little bit like spotted owl.
Like pheasant.
they taste like turkey.
Probably like taste a little like pheasant under glass. Yeah,
tastes like a cross between bald eagle and spotted owl.
Because wow. they're pheasants of a sort. At any rate, they're making a gigantic mess. And you know what? Peacocks are big, dumb, ugly birds. And they're just loud.
They're not ugly.
Okay, the feathers on the male peacock
are
okay.
They're beautiful.
The feathers on the male peacock are okay, but half the time they don't even show them.
Half the time, 90% of the time.
Yeah, only when they want to get something. And then they stick their feathers up, and that's
the only
time.
The way all guys are?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
don't you know that we're ready when our feathers are up?
And the other ones that I can't stand are those stupid parrots. They're so loud.
We should be able to shoot those.
We got a lot of parrots here in Southern California.
There should be a season. Parrot season.
Let's see.
We had so many parrots at the beach one time. Paulie, we had someone 38? That wrote into the show and said they could tell we were at the beach because they could hear the seagulls. Yeah. I didn't have the heart to tell them those were parrots.
Yeah. That's okay.
Okay, let's do this last one. It's a cocaine story.
A cocaine?
Cocaine.
There's a cocaine story.
Caseyville, Illinois. Kenneth M. Stannard, 38 years old, was charged Tuesday with single counts of residential burglary and theft for two separate cases and was held on $200,000 bail. He's accused of ransacking the homes, presumably because, well, he was later caught trying to fence.
He couldn't find the quarter gram he hid somewhere?
Well, he was caught fencing about $8,000 worth of stolen silver and gold jewelry from those homes. That's how he got caught, was the pawn shop guy.
Don't anybody know anything? You trade those to your dealers for more coke.
Apparently he really doesn't know because he has been cited or charged 59 times.
Okay, he's just stupid.
On cocaine-related cases. And what I don't get is 59 drug arrests and he's still free? How does that happen?
They don't have a three strikes rule in Illinois.
Well, and you know what? $8,000 is grand theft, which is a felony. Yeah, but no three strikes rule there.
Yeah.
In California, you'd be gone.
California's
forever.
Like California's like a baseball game.
Yeah.
Three strikes and you're out. Or in.
Oh.
I have to do one more. Mr. Kate.
I have to do one more.
Welcome back.
Go ahead. You got all the time in the world.
Shut up, Bruce. Jeez. I'm trying to do the boozy news over here.
You were doing Horseshack a second ago.
Not intentionally.
Okay. Go ahead,
in
Shelly.
Portland, Oregon.
Been there.
Nicholas Alexander Harbar.
Oh, I know him.
And his girlfriend, Stephanie Morgan Pelsner. Nicky, most people have normal names.
Pelsner?
Pelsner.
Oh. Nikki and Steffi.
Yes, Nikki and Steffi. There you go. They just pleaded guilty in court Wednesday to disorderly conduct and accepted a sentence of 16 hours of community service each.
What did they do?
Which is not a very big sentence, but what they did wasn't a really big crime. It was just incredibly embarrassing. On Valentine's Day, they decided to do a little role playing. So when the neighbors saw him carrying her out, handcuffed, naked, and bound with duct tape, and putting her into the trunk of his car.
Wow, that's
the neighbor thought that
she
should call the police.
She should.
Which she did. Mm-hmm. He then, a little ways down the road, got pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
They popped the trunk, found her naked and bound in duct tape and in the trunk. And she corroborated the fact that they were having a little sexual role play for Valentine's Day.
Do you think they already had him in cuffs the moment they opened up the trunk and saw her in there?
Yeah. And now their pictures are all over the newspaper, and everybody knows that they play hinky sex games.
Awesome.
He's going to have no problem getting chicks.
Oh, yeah. Every chick with
She's
going to
have
fetish.
No problem getting guys.
Yeah.
You know, the whole being tied up, whatever, about the tied up thing, but you know what really bugs me is she let him put duct tape over her mouth. Ow! Ow, Major, ow!
That's
duct
love.
Tape is like for life.
Let me tell you, that's love. Worse for Mark and I than it is for any woman. Because we have mustaches. You put duct tape over us, it's like getting a bikini wax. Ow!
How much did that bikini wax hurt you?
Huh?
How much did that bikini wax hurt that time?
I don't know.
Okay.
Shelly's like, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I'm like,
remember that guy's weekend when you were out of town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bruce and I went for some manscaping.
Manscaping.
Okay, official you. That's the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House Aware Program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
Made me laugh. It hurts.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Shelly's back.
Shelly was back. Sherry with us during the break, and she felt the need to use the microphone to have to talk to us.
You know what? I might as well tell it.
No, don't.
No, we don't need to hear it now.
It would have been funny, though. At my expense.
At your expense. That's true. You know, it is at your expense. You should tell it.
Oh, no. Here we go again.
We ended up the last show talking about, you know, Mark and I manscaping.
No, the boozy news. We ended up the boozy news,
not
the last
news,
show.
You know,
last segment.
Last segment about manscaping. And I decided I was going to do that once. And, you know, the whole thing with, you know, I don't know. I just had never done it before. So I'm like, if you're a guy, you'll understand this. And women won't really. But it's like,
there's nothing like a freshly shorn scrotum.
I couldn't figure out how to shave a certain part. And I got the idea that Nair would probably work well. And I discovered that Nair...
And it did.
Oh, no, it worked great. Yeah, it was like baby smooth. The problem was... the problem was that you have to really pay attention to how much time you leave Nair on for, because if you leave it on too long, it burns like a mofo. I could not sit. I was sitting on a bag of ice, wasn't I?
Yes.
I was sitting on a bag of ice.
Oh, no, I
because,
think it was frozen corn.
Oh, frozen corn. Yeah, I was on fire for like 2 days. Yeah. When it says 7 minutes, it means freaking 7 minutes. And it means that you should already be like in the shower washing it off at 7 minutes. Because if you wait till 7 minutes and then start to take it off, it's about 10 or 12 minutes before you actually get it all off.
Did you want to wear short shorts or something?
Oh, no, look, I didn't want to wear any shorts.
Who wears short shorts?
I didn't want to wear anything.
Nair for shorts.
Well, you asked me, what, and I said, I don't know. You just stick it on your legs and you wipe it off. I mean, it doesn't do anything to me.
Short shorts? Nair for short shorts.
Yeah, I don't think the legs are quite as sensitive, maybe, mayhaps, as Sackage is, because it was not good. Yeah. So any guys out there that are thinking about that, pay attention to your timers.
We're laughing on the outside, but we're cringing on the inside.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kind of bored on the inside.
So, Mark.
What?
What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Bruce, tell us about the history of Rule 62.
Yeah.
Rule 62. There was a time early on, and I may not get everything exactly right, but the gist of it is that AA was going to have this recovery facility hospital thing that was going to be a part of AA, and they were going to spread the word this way. And when they started to put it together, they decided they needed some rules. So they had rules for this and rules for that and rules for this and rules for that. And they got all the way through this list, and they had 61 different rules on how they were going to keep this thing all together, traditions and all that. And this guy said, this is ridiculous. We have no business having a recovery hospital, AA all tied together. So he proposed Rule 62, which is don't take yourself so damn seriously. And they gave up on the idea of the recovery hospital, AA recovery hospital, and yet kept Rule 62. So
it's
there it is.
Favorite rule.
Have fun. It's the name of this show, Recovery 101, Rule 62. How about you, Shelley? And when you're done yawning, Miss, I don't want to take things so seriously.
I wasn't. I was yawning.
You were.
I don't know. I have in recent months tended to not take anything too seriously. Because I find that when I start getting really uptight about things, I get all in my head, and I get all worked up, and I start worrying, and I start burning trouble, and then people start making fun of me, and then I cry quietly by myself in my room at night, and it's really kind of depressing.
Wow.
Like after every show?
Yeah, pretty much. So I am trying not to do that because it's bad for me. At the same time, there are some things that you do have to take seriously in the sense that you have to give them their proper weight and gravitas.
Ooh.
Which may be redundant. I'm not sure.
Gravitas.
Yes.
For those out there in radio land who may not know what that means.
Serious weight.
Yes. That's why I said it may be redundant.
Yeah, I know.
There's a spot in the big book, it always cracks me up, where it says something to the effect of, you'd better use everyday language when speaking to an alcoholic. And then, like, the next paragraph is full of, like, $25 words, and I'm thinking, okay, there's some Rule 62 for you. How about page... This guy is gonna tell his sponsee. His sponsee's having problems with sex in the program. He's got this girl he's trying to go out with, and the sponsor says, as fate would have it, the big book talks about sex on page 69. So you should go in there and read page 69. But the guy F's up, and he goes and he opens the book to page 96, and he starts reading at the top, and it says, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. seek out another alcoholic and
try again.
You're sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you have to offer. And what it really is talking about is step 12 and sponsorship. You know, go find another guy.
Boy meets girl on AA campus.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Mark? Fun in the fellowship.
I live by Rule 62.
Yeah, me too.
I just, you know, I was sitting in a meeting one time, not an AA meeting, actually in a meeting of something having nothing to do with program. It was just a meeting outside of the fellowship for a committee I was on in my normal life, such as it is. And there was this big argument going on, and a friend of mine leaned over to me. He says, "You know what the problem is here?" I said, "What?" He goes, "Tensions are so high because the stakes are so low."
Perfect.
Yeah. I kind of said, I see your point. You know, it just doesn't matter. And I see people get so tied up into... I've probably heard... We've got a great logo for our convention coming up.
Awesome logo. Best one I've seen probably ever.
And the registration little circle in the bottom right corner below the logo, on one of the mimeographed copies of something, appeared to be touching the logo. Not on everyone, just on one.
Well, part of a dolphin fin was touching
the logo. I have heard about this much more than I ever had any desire to hear about it. Because you know what? It's important to protecting the logo, but in the grand scheme of everything, it just doesn't matter. I mean, Bill Murray said it best in Meatballs. It just doesn't matter.
That's a fact, Jack.
That's right.
From Stripes.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, the big book of AA actually talks about it, where it says, because it shows both sides. Because you know what? It talks about how we like to have fun and frivolity, but there's a deadly earnestness underneath it all, because, you know, we got to stay sober. But it talks about, you know, that people in meetings sometimes get freaked out because someone will be telling this horrific story. You know, like usually as a part of what it used to be like, and everyone is laughing their ass off in the meeting, you know. But we're not laughing at them, we're laughing with them, because we did stupid shit too. And I've always found that to be, you know, funny for the I've seen guys, they're like sharing something with their story, and oh, it's horrible, and oh, and everyone starts cracking up. And you see like the newcomers like looking around like, what? And then they realize, and you see that glimmer of recognition where they realize, oh, you guys did stuff like that too? And it's like, yeah. And we're still here to talk about it, so we can laugh about it.
I think about the day you and I were at Starbucks. We were sitting out on the patio, having a cup of coffee, smoking a cigar.
Imagine that.
And we were doing what we tend to do when you and I are sitting somewhere and smoking a cigar.
Laughing?
Swapping stories.
Oh, yeah.
And you're telling the story about when you were in the hospital and decided that it'd be a good idea to inject cocaine into your IV bag.
It still sounds like it was a good idea.
And you and I are laughing our asses off. There's this woman sitting at the next table with this horrified look on her face.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, you guys are laughing at this thing. I mean, I've shared before during my pitch, and I've said, you know, my story is like everybody else's. It is upsetting and horrible and tragic. In other words, funny as hell.
Yeah.
Because that's how our lives are.
I've been at Starbucks before where we've been telling like some mean, like what it used to be like stories. Uh-huh. And had like a table full of cops sitting at the next table, like kind of looking at us like...
That's always fun.
What the hell? And newcomers at the table are like, shh, yeah. Dude, there's cops
yeah,
right there.
Yeah,
I'm
we
like,
know.
Dude,
yeah, we know them
20
all.
20 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, we know them all.
And we know all the cops. We drink coffee with them. How about you, Shelley? join in.
Yeah. I had something to say, but I forgot what it was, so it must not have been important.
It was a lie.
It was a lie.
It was the truth. You'd remember it because you wouldn't have to think about it.
Well,
no, it was in response to something you guys were saying. I remember what it was.
Oh, good.
Okay, good. The part Bruce was talking about in the big book always cracks me up every time we read it, because the paragraph right before the part about us having fun with all of this is talking about the guy who committed suicide in one of the members' homes. And then the next sentence says, and yet there's a great deal of fun about it all. And it just, when you're reading it in the book study.
Not for him.
It's just, you kind of look at it and you go, huh? Because it's, you know, it doesn't, the two things don't match up.
Well, and then there's another classic from the big book is in Bill's story, where he's at the bar, or he's at the hotel, and he's thinking about going to the bar, and he hears gay chatter coming down. And I'm thinking, what kind of bar is that?
San Francisco.
And then it says,
it's a bar in San Francisco.
He might not be able to scrape up an, if he doesn't go hang out where the gay chatter is, he might not be able to scrape an acquaintance, and he'll have a lonely weekend. I'm thinking, oh my God.
That meant something different in the
Bill
30s.
Bill at the Oyster Bar.
That meant something different in the
30s. Because, you know, Bill was a motorcycle rider. He might have had some leathers. I mean, he might have fit right in. It's hard to say.
I don't know. I think that within the program, within the groups, not the program, but within the groups, that especially newcomers get so caught up in everybody's drama, and everything has this deadly serious, this sense of immediacy about everything. And people get so head up about things. I've gotten to the point lately, one of the things I do when, like, there's some big important thing going on is to ask myself, in 20 years, am I going to give a crap?
Mark and I can tell you, no, you won't.
Because
4 billion Chinese do not care what you did today.
Yes, because that's there are an awful lot of people in the world. There's an awful lot of stuff going on. Whether or not I get out a book on CD today, nobody gives a crap.
No.
You know, it's going to get out eventually. You know, that's the one thing about, you know, going to work, I'm completely overworked. I have a list of crap to do that's like 2 miles long, and I'm apparently the only person in the building. Some of these things, I think I am the only person in the building who knows how to do it.
And you're disabled.
And I'm currently disabled. And everybody else in the building thinks that their stuff is the most important stuff, and it has to get done right now. And they're always coming by my desk and saying, oh, can you get right on that? I'm like, uh-huh, sure. And then I just do whatever it was that I'm going to do that day. Because they'll forget that they've asked me, because once they've asked me, they figure it's on my desk and they're done with it. And I will do it. But I've learned that if I get all head up about the fact that I have to get all this stuff done, I'm going to end up back in charter because I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
And that'll be their fault because you're injured.
No, I have to put everything into perspective. 20 years from now, is it going to matter?
I've had guys I sponsored before come to me with like an issue, and they're like borrowing trouble or something, and the issue isn't really an issue, or the way that they're going to fix it doesn't actually exist. And it reminds me of this episode of this show called Red Dwarf. It's this BBC show, and there are these guys in outer space, and they're in a spaceship, and something's coming, and this guy says, we should just blast it with our laser cannons. And this one guy says, that's an excellent idea, with only two problems. A, we don't have any laser cannons. And B, we don't have any laser cannons. I know that really that's only one problem, but it was such a big problem that I thought it bared mentioning twice. You know, I mean, you know, just the frivolity that I get when I'm at, because, you know, the stuff that seemed so horrific in the past. I mean, we're this buddy of mine, and I can't say who he is, but he's a guy from our meeting, and he tells a story about when he's on someone's lawn, and he's been drunk driving, and he's in their car. He thinks he's on a circular driveway, but he's not. He's on their grass. And he's like laying into the gas, and he's not going anywhere because he's just digging these holes in these people's grass. And the guy's like, hey, get the hell off my lawn. He's like, I'm trying. You know, and at the time, it probably wasn't very funny to him. Yeah, I have another guy I sponsored that ran into the sign at the local church, you know, and the pastor's out there, you know, giving him crap about it, you know, and he's talking about how horrible it was, and I just can't stop laughing. I'm like, you ran into the church sign, you know.
Well, you know.
Don't
the thing is, we've lived through it all.
I mean,
you know.
for some strange reason, somebody thought it was a good idea to nominate me to be vice chair of the area for CA.
That is a strange thing.
No. That's not nearly as strange as someone we know became vice chair of the convention committee.
Yeah, I know. But,
yeah, I won't be.
But
on
they decided. They decided to do this, so I'm running unopposed. And for some reason, I still have to get up and give my credentials.
Yeah.
My bona fides.
Did they make you leave the room when they took the vote?
Yes, and they made me leave the room when I took the vote. And I stood up and I said, my sobriety date's April 23rd, 1985. I've been around for a day or two. And I just wanted to let you know that as far as any...
They can't F it up anymore.
As far as me being in any position of anything having to do with anything, I'm pretty much a Rule 62 kind of guy. That's all I said. Three people got it, and nobody else in the room had any idea what I was talking about.
Wow.
And the three people that got it were laughing hysterically when I left the room.
Well, and you know, it's different sometimes in different fellowships. Because, like, as a for instance, when I go to NA meetings, at least compared to the meetings that I normally go to, that is a group that is of deadly earnestness, and I get that. Because
they have,
you know,
no
what?
Rule 62 there.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I get it, you know, because the theory is, you know what?
They're not for fun and for free.
Alcoholism and drug addiction kills people. And I've been in meetings where people have said, you know, take that freaking crosstalk outside because you might be killing someone right now. But you catch them not in meetings, and they're as funny as anybody else. You know, so there's a little bit of that as well, you know, because I'll tell you, NA, as a general rule, when I go to an NA meeting, it is 100% recovery talk. And they got no problem shutting someone down that's not talking about recovery talk.
A friend of ours had me lead an AA meeting the other day.
Yeah. Shelley?
Where was that going?
Just the frivolity of the fact that you would have me lead an AA meeting.
That's true.
I had fun with it. Not only that, for some reason it was early in the morning, which means I had to acknowledge 2 5:45s that day, which is way out of character for me.
Huh. Shelly's been chomping at the bit.
Go ahead, Shelly.
No, I'm not chomping at the bit. I'm just...
Go, Shelly. Go. Go, Shelly. Go.
I think the part of our Miss, what do you want to call it? Miss
America?
No. The unreasonable nature of our willingness to get caught up into things and create things that are deadly serious out of things that really aren't is the fact that, especially with newcomers, when we first get here, it's difficult for us to distinguish between what's helping another person and what's just gossip. So we get really I used to get emotionally pulled into other people's dramas, and I would go and tell my sponsor, oh my gosh, did you hear what happened, blah 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 blah, and she would look at me and she'd say, how is that your business? And I would say, oh,
because someone told it to me,
it's really not my business. Well, no, I would hear things second or third hand, and I would say, oh, it's really not my business. And once it wasn't my business, then I didn't have to be caught up in the drama, and suddenly it wasn't important anymore.
How about when it was our drama?
So
remember when we had drank? There was this rumor going around, like, this AA club
you guys went out and drank. Yeah.
I missed it.
I heard that.
I know. I was so bummed out. I didn't even get a buzz.
I heard that.
So unfair.
Didn't even get a buzz when you did drink.
I tried to get you to do your first step again.
But, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is that it's difficult, I think, for newcomers to distinguish that, because we all talk about each other, and that's the thing. I mean, we're not supposed to gossip. Gossip is, like... You know, we're supposed to not gossip about each other, but we do. We talk about each other. I try not to. I've gone a couple of rounds lately with Bruce saying, hey, was so-and-so at the meeting? And me saying, I can't tell you that because you're not supposed to. But
Rule 62.
You know, and most of the time when we're talking about each other, it's because we're worried about each other or concerned about each other, and we want to keep tabs on each other, because by keeping tabs on each other, we help keep each other sober. If we see somebody that's going off the wrong direction, we can say, hey, can you talk to so-and-so? I think they're having trouble, or something like that. We watch out for each other. But when it ends up getting into the gossip end of things, that's when the drama starts going, and that's when everything gets too serious, and that's when people start getting all head up about stuff that they don't have to get that head up about.
We on the Monday night meeting, one of my friends, and your friends as well, was leading the meeting and had his typical share at the beginning of the meeting, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then the
oh, crap.
Then the then the topic Kate came up with was, this is a perfect topic for that meeting is. And it kind of goes along with Rule 62 is, tell us a really outrageously funny I got loaded story. Oh, my God. What a train wreck that meeting was. We had a guy share, and I'm not going to say who it was or anything. We had a guy share from way back in the day when he was hitchhiking from, like, San Bernardino to Santa Monica. And every single hitchhike, every single person that picked this guy up was a guy that wanted to put their hand in this guy's crotch. And I'm like, and when it was my turn to share, I said, I got to tell you, I've hitchhiked many times. Never once have I had a guy try and put his hand in my crotch. And this guy had like seven of them in one trip. And I'm like, what were you wearing?
You know, I'm
just wondering because, wow. Well, this is going to be a long show.
Geez, we went
so,
way
Shelley,
over. What?
What are your? What? We can't go over. It's our show. We go 7.5 hours if we want.
That's right. We could have a mini marathon.
Yes, but Sarah would turn us off.
No, she wouldn't.
She would.
Not if you close with Philadelphia Rum Club.
Yeah. Shelley, what are your final words on Rule 62?
Well, considering the femoral nature of life.
The female nature of life?
Ephemeral. Transitory.
Wow, that's a $25 word.
Wow, there's people all over the place going, what?
There's people at AA clubs in Rio Lindo going, huh?
They're Googling dictionary.com. Given the fact that we're all going to croak, it doesn't. None of us really makes any difference.
As long as we croak sober. Clean and sober.
Somebody said, I forget who it was that said, it does not matter how well you lived. What matters is how well you died. Because that's how people remember you.
Wow.
Which is kind of a depressing thought. But even that.
Think of that girl from the Boozy News that died in the trunk. Duct taped up.
She didn't
and
die.
Naked. No, I said, what if she had
in those? Fact, she's doing 16 hours of community service.
Perfect.
At a strip club.
I just don't think that it's...
At Madame Sadie's dominatrix dungeon?
You know, I'll give you an example.
Give us an example.
One of our kids came out and talked to me yesterday about, did I really think there was going to be this massive earthquake and should we get prepared for the disaster? And she's getting freaked out because every time she turns on the TV, there's some advertisement about horrific things going on and she's really worried about all this stuff. And I just looked at her and I said, well, what are you going to do about it? She said, well, I don't know. I said... So then why worry about it? Because you can't do anything about it. And she was getting very serious about this stuff and very upset about it for no purpose. All she was doing was upsetting herself. So if you take things too seriously, you're the one that ends up getting upset. So there's really no point.
No matter what disaster takes place, there's only two things you need to be prepared for it.
Bend over and grab your ankles?
A bottle of water and a gun with a 15-shot clip.
Well, she asked what would happen if Yellowstone blew up, and I said, well, I don't know. We'd be dead.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Would we be dead if Yellowstone blew up?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It would take out pretty much most of the West Coast.
They think the entire national park of Yellowstone is actually a caldera crater. Yeah. Yeah, it's in Montana. It doesn't matter. We'll all be gone. Mark, what are your final words on the subject? After talking about the death and destruction of everyone.
And it doesn't really matter.
Final words?
Lighten up.
Yeah, no kidding. Look, you know what? If I can't have fun around here, why am I going to stay?
There you go. My final words, in deference to my stepson, Connor. And really fitting with Rule 62.
Yes.
Time for a game of disappearing bears.
I knew you were going to say that. He made that up and he's trying
to get it
to go viral.
Do you know that one of our buddies online found a clip of that from the Care Bears where the guy says, time for a game of disappearing bears.
Connor's going to be crushed. He thought he made that up.
No, he did not. Mark.
What?
Who are our friends back east?
In the city of brotherly love?
Yeah, Pilafilthia.
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Bruce runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can go to recovery101.net, scroll down, look at the link, click the link, take you right to his fine site. Great publication. You can read it online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service, be it as they may. If you're interested in a franchise, then...
Turnkey.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what? You get the franchise. Bruce gives you all the tools you need. You go out, you make yourself some money. But you can contact Bruce and give you all that information, and you can bring the 12 seconds at your little corner of the world.
What if I have a recovery home or something? Will he send those?
No. Yeah. If you have a recovery home, a Lotto club, kind of places where those who are like us gather, contact Bruce and he'll send you
multiples.
He'll send you multiples.
He's going to give you multiples.
You'll have multiples.
Bruce, the Gazette guy, will give you multiples.
You'll have multiples from Bruce.
Every woman in the program right now is sending him an email. Hey, can you give me multiples?
Yeah. There you go, Bruce.
I went there.
Good luck with that.
Shelley?
Yes?
What if someone was going to go to recovery101.net? What should they do besides just listen to shows?
They should click on like.
And what happens if they're not a member and that they click on like?
Then they'll ask to become a member, and then they should become a member, and it's free.
And fun.
And it helps, and if they go and click a like on a bunch of our shows, it helps with our ratings.
Sweet. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. We can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/ Recovery 101 Rule 62,
which we've discussed in length today.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously, Shelley. Who's the lead on music by
Kill Devil Rum Club?
I knew that.
KDRC. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
That's a wrap.
Good night, Sarah.